The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And this is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. A warning that the following item contains references to domestic abuse and violence that some listeners may find difficult or triggering to hear. It's no secret that Ireland is experiencing an epidemic of domestic violence. Supporting victims and survivors, obviously important, but does that actually tackle the problem? Should we turn our attention to helping offenders instead, or at least as well? News Talk's Sarah Madden reports.
So welcome all. You're all very welcome this evening.
Every week around the country, 12 groups of men will meet.
So as usual, we're just going to go and do a little bit of a check-in with everybody.
From all walks of life and every income bracket, these men have one thing in common.
Since the last session, is there any difficulties that you've had at home or work? Or
they've all been abusive towards their partners.
It's important to bring to group to discuss further. And I think this week we'll start on our left.
Domestic abuse is a major problem here in Ireland. One in three women have experienced psychological violence from a partner at some point in their lives. For one in six, the violence has been physical or sexual. Supports and services for victims and survivors are vitally important. But what is in place to rehabilitate offenders? What makes someone abusive in the first place? And can men who perpetrate domestic violence really change?
I remember the first time that I worked with an offender, and I remember this young fella coming in to me, and I was very much of the societal opinion that perpetrators are bad, terrible people. Well, and this man came in to me and he said he was 25, he was around the same age as my sons, and he went, it was come and see you or drive your car into a wall. He actually meant it. He really, really meant it. And I watched, as I worked with him for about a year and a half, 2 years, the pain, the suffering that he went through. He was ostracised. Nobody wanted to talk to him. Nobody wanted to go out with him. Nobody wanted to hang around with him. He was signing on in the guard station. And when I peeled back and I looked past the crime, here was somebody that just so desperately needed help.
Psychotherapist Dr. Michelle Walsh is the CEO of MOVE, Men Overcoming Violence, Ireland.
You know, when I started my journey, I started as a therapist and I worked in women's refuge for a long number of years, and I worked in rape crisis. You know, and I'd see families coming into refuge and I go, OK, so there's two kids in here. There's a boy and there's a girl. I could see where the women ended up. I could see the trajectory, and you can see the intergenerational piece and the learned behaviour and the parentification and what happens with attachment and all of those things that we would talk about in therapy. But I now know where the men go. They end up in MOVE. So MOVE Ireland is a national perpetrator programme. We're funded by the Department of Justice, and we run perpetrator programmes all over Ireland, working with perpetrators that either self-refer into the programme, and then the rest come from probation and TUSLA, and then we get various other referrals from mental health and homeless services. But what the programme does, in essence, is it's a 23-week rolling programme. It's a CBT-based, it's aimed at behaviour change intervention. So there's six modules within the programme. So we look at things like gender, emotional intimacy, respect, sexual respect, parenting. Parenting is probably one of the modules that brings about the most change when men look at actually how they were parented and how they parent themselves.
MOVE Ireland recently released their annual report called From Harm to Hope, and the 2023 data is startling.
We have a 400% increase in phone calls in 2023. 46% of the men that we support are self-referrals. I have phone calls from men going, look, I need help. I absolutely need help. I know what I'm doing is wrong. It's destroying my life. It's destroying my partner's life. It's destroying my children's life. I just don't know where to go with it. Most of the men that come to our programme would come with an average of 14 to 16 ACEs, so adverse childhood and community experiences. So they're deeply traumatised coming for a whole variety of reasons. They've been exposed to bullying, sexual violence, domestic violence in the home, trauma, just pure trauma. And none of us know what we're capable of until we're put in a situation. Anybody is capable of ending up on a perpetrator programme, given the right set of circumstances. And I think it's very easy to tut-tut and go, that would never happen to me. But that's just, I think that's part of the problem.
We were reared by my single mother. I have a daughter and I have sisters. I never thought I could or would hit a woman, but I did.
A former Choices programme participant, who we will call David, has agreed to speak with me anonymously.
The relationship was good, Sarah, at the beginning. We were friends all our life. We spent a lot of time together. We enjoyed each other's company. And my drinking was getting worse and worse. My life was going downhill. My relationships with my friends and family was going downhill because of drinking, because of everything, Sarah, because of work. Just everything was bad. Everything was bad. So the argument started with my ex-partner. It started with huffing and puffing, not replying to texts, slamming doors, withholding love and support, and then eventually turned to physical violence, which landed me in court, which landed me very, very close to going to prison. Very close.
In the 4 years between David's arrest and sentencing, his relationship broke up. He moved in with his mother. And when local papers reported on his case, David had to sit his daughter down and explain what he had done.
After the arrest, I says, yes, I'm going to prove all charges guilty. I knew I was in the wrong. I'm going to lay it on the table. I didn't care how long I got you in jail. I wasn't going to bring my ex-partner to court or any. I done the damage and that was it. So it was a depressing time. And I used to spend a lot of time on my own in forests and woods. I would go down early morning, 7 o'clock. I would just spend all day in the woods, thinking of the worst. Now, I wasn't suicidal or anything, but I was just very, very low. Very low. And I knew how to do something. I knew how to make me act together. So I just woke up one morning and I just had to look at my life and I just said, something has to change. So I just stopped drinking alcohol. That was the big change. I went to Tura, Sarah, for support, which was very good. And then I got a full-time job.
When the judge saw David's efforts and improvement, he received a suspended sentence for his charge of assault, a stipulation of which was that he engage with the MOVE programme.
Yeah, I enjoyed the meetings. When you have to admit what you've done to a load of strange people, it kind of gets things off your chest. Because an abusive man can't talk about his abusive behaviour to anybody, only in that room. I think, Sarah, behind the abuse was an underlying anxiety that I had that I was going to lose her. That's what I have knuckled it down to, and yes, that's what I think it was. That's what I know.
Michelle believes that David's experience is quite a common one, that behind much male violence is in fact fear. But is it any consolation to the victims of their abuse to hear that? I'm meeting Jennifer Carroll for a coffee close to her home in West Dublin. Jennifer left an abusive relationship with the father of her son, Carter, 7 years ago.
He would slash the tyres of my car. He smashed all of the windows. I remember having to go down and hoover the glass out of his car seat because it was all in it. And we managed to clear it out, got him in the car and drove down the road with smashed windows. Like, it was humiliating, you know, even driving up the road. And then I got this weird feeling of guilt when I watched from the window him being taken off in handcuffs. I was just like, oh my God, like, have I done the right thing?
Jennifer's case took place in the UK. But during the court case, her ex-partner was offered the opportunity to join a rehabilitation programme, much like the one offered by MOVE.
I think initially I was, you know, just like, that's great or whatever, you know. And then I think when I really thought about it, I got nervous because in my head I was thinking, if he goes through this programme, get his certificate at the end to be like, okay, I did it, you know, I'm cured. And then he would have access to me and my son again. And that made me scared because any trust that I had with him was completely gone at this point.
In the end, Jennifer's ex-partner's denial of the abuse disallowed him from progressing with the programme. Her views on their benefits today are mixed.
I think maybe there are people that can, people that have had, you know, trauma or experiences growing up that have kind of led to these situations where then they behave the way they do. Because again, you know, these things don't just happen. The root of the cause, I suppose, is we need to stop men and we need to stop the violence. The issue needs to be fixed. And there's just too many lives being taken from domestic violence. So in my view, it's worth it. But it's hard from my experience and knowing the person I knew, like, to imagine that he would ever have it in him to not be that way. I think it was that's how he was, like, to his core, if that makes sense.
People will only change their behaviour if they want to. But at the same time, there are huge success rates for people that do come through the programme. And there's great research done into that.
Michelle Walsh again.
And what that research will tell you is that if somebody's coming into a programme and there's 60% rate of domestic violence, so that will reduce to 2% post-programme. And for sexual violence, that goes from 30% down to 0% post-programme. So amazing results. It does work if the person engages. As long as we keep just addressing the survivors, we're not addressing the root cause, and those perpetrators just move on to reoffend. Like, we can't fill the refuges with people and leave them there indefinitely. A lot of people don't want to be in refuges. They want to be with the person that they love. So if we're really going to be serious about making it a contribution to reducing rates of domestic violence and sexual violence in Ireland, we actually have to start looking at perpetrators and we have to put supports in place for them and make a difference.
David's experience on the rehabilitation programme was so positive that he recently agreed to speak about it publicly at the annual report launch.
I was very proud and I was very honoured to stand up there and to share my experience, and it was nice to be able to tell my ex-partner that I was, the night before I was going up to make a speech the next day, so she's very happy that I'm doing this interview with you. I just feel, I kind of feel grateful that I wasn't sent to jail, that I could make up the friendships and make up with my family relationships and my daughter, and of course I still get angry, but I don't act on it. I know how to handle my anger, approach situations, just try and mind myself, just a mini check-in there every morning as well, like, see how the form is, how am I doing, like, just go about me day, be more pleasant, be more polite, and try and make the world a better place.
That report by Newstalk's Sarah Madden. If you or someone you know has been affected by this item or the topics covered in it, support can be found at the Women's Aid 24-hour National Free Phone Helpline, 1800 341 900. Move Ireland can be contacted 065 684 8689.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.